All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a new and exciting live episode of Movie Bite Podcast.
Hello, everybody.
With me, the Russian.
Already jumping at the gun, you know.
Yeah, you're already
I'm so nervous. Like, we always film this live anyway, and when you say it's live and everybody can see you, it's like, oh.
Well, now we're actually live. People can join and comment. Today's a very special episode, ladies and gentlemen, and for everybody that's slowly going to start tuning in, hopefully we got some nice comments and feedback. Today we're going to do, as our marquee says in the top of our video, Mortal Kombat franchise. Without further ado, we need to start this podcast right with the proper intro. Kick it. We go, and that my friends, was the sound that was in every aerobics class, at least for 1995, and it was probably on everybody's iPod for a period of time.
Yeah, that was that was the time where the Mortal Kombat was probably one of the biggest things ever. I mean, the game itself just was groundbreaking. It was revolutionary. That game took, I want to, not only hours, it took days out of our lives, at least mine. Like, I played it like ridiculously, and that was the time when you did not have internet, so learning to play the character, like, it would took you hours to learn a few moves, and we're not even talking about fatality. So,
bro, it was button smashing, a lot of frustrations, because if you couldn't pull off a combo or the right move or the right fatality, you were done. So before we dig in into the Mortal Kombat franchise and the popularity of this franchise, Mortal Kombat movies would have not existed if it wasn't for the video game of the same name that was created in 1992 by Midway Games. It was an arcade game that was also released into Guillermo's. it spawned 11 games. It introduced to a very unique type of fighting game. It was the first of a kind to use human capture to create movements and everything. And it was created by Ed Boon and John Tobias. Okay. You see on the screen there a little glimpse of what it used to look like whenever you would play in arcade games. What's important to know is that this game was kind of like the creators wanted to make a game based on Jean-Claude Van Damme. Here's the cheat code for one button fatality. You can't cheat in life, bro. Or you can. Maybe you can't. I don't know. So Mortal Kombat was supposed to be an homage to Jean-Claude Van Damme, but it never came into that production. So they came up with this fighting tournament style fight to the death game, where each time you will face a different fighter until at the very end you reach the boss level. It was the first game to introduce the hidden character feature. So if you completed the game, you had a hidden character unlocked. And it's because of Johnny Cage, who has the same initials of Jean-Claude Van Damme, you know, JC. Johnny Cage pays an homage to Jean-Claude Van Damme in the game series. Yep, there we go. So that's a little bit of a brief history of what the Mortal Kombat is. And then based on the popularity of the video game, they sell the rights. Lawrence Kasdan. The series going off. Lawrence Kasdan buys the rights to produce a film of this, of the same name. And we get what we call. So we're going to call it today Mortal Kombat 1995. So we're going to shorten it out to MK95. That was directed by Paul Anderson, who of fame did later on Event Horizon, Resident Evil franchise, Death Race, Alien vs. Predator. So let's go
after Event Horizon, but yeah, he kept going. Yeah. Anyway, Mortal Kombat 1995, the budget was $18 million. So it was a pretty decent budget for those times. So the New Line Cinema gave the guys the money and told them, hey, you know, do you. So the story, obviously, in these game adaptations, there's really hard to kind of have the storyline. So here we have Liu Kang, who is going to revenge his brother. He's kind of like the our link, the viewer link, and the link for these characters to get these two worlds together. So you got the Shang Tsung. I'm sorry, is the main villain of this movie. He's kind of trying to take over our world, and the only way to stop him is to have the tournament, which, you know, gonna decide the fate of the world. And the only few chosen ones will be defending the Earth against this kind of invasion.
Yep. So it's a very simple story, very similar to the video game plot. And it was such a huge hype when this movie was announced and it was released, you know, because everybody wanted to know who was going to play Liu Kang, who was going to play Johnny Cage and Sonya Blade, you know, three of the most popular characters in the game series. Obviously, they tap Christopher Lambert from the Highlander series movie franchise to play Lord Raiden, one of the main important characters of the game. And then they also tackle Mr. Kerry Hideyuki Tagawa to play Chang Sun, who in the 90s, he was basically typecasted as every single Chinese villain you could find, right? And he's an amazing actor. And I think the hype around that movie is because it was, at that point, a very solid casting. And we got to hear a little clip of Mr. Tagawa playing Chang Sun, welcoming the champions, the chosen ones of Earth, to Mortal Kombat.
To one of the greatest turning points in the history of your planet.
So it's fun. It's funny to say. Sonya Blade originally was going to be played by Cameron Diaz.
Really? I did not know that. No.
So Cameron Diaz even went through training and everything. She actually injured her foot, if I'm not mistaken, and they gave the role to Bridget Wilson, who before this movie had made Billy Madison.
Wasn't she like the pigeon? Like she came from the. I believe she was into. I know she married the Sampras.
She married Sampras. Thank you. Her wrist. She broke her wrist. Thank you. Remember, I had the sticker album for the MK. Oh, I had it too. And then we have Lyndon Ashby, who played Johnny Cage, who actually that's pretty good on this movie. I think he is one of the solid actors in this role. He has some good speaking lines on this movie, and he played Johnny Cage very good. And then we have Mr. Robin Hsu, who played Liu Kang, who went on to do Annihilation after this. He also did Beverly Hills Ninja, and then he also was in Death Race with Paul W. Anderson as well. A little bit of 90s CGI effects, which is, it's not too bad, you know. It's not a movie that has aged that well if you play now in 2021, but it has grown a cult base, and it was a huge success in the box office. You know, I think it went on to gross over $100 million in the summer of 1995.
Yeah, though, I mean, the directing of this movie, it's not really that good, let's be honest with it. But
I think this was Paul Anderson's first film to right. start with. Yeah.
But the idea that he was given the Event Horizon afterwards is mind-blowing. And how he went from doing Event Horizon to doing Resident Evil, again, I mean, it's to me, it's just sometimes they make these choices like out of the blue, like, and directors sometimes don't know what's going to be good, what's going to be bad. Obviously, this movie, I mean, just because we still talk about it, I mean, it made an impact to all of us. But if it wasn't for the game, I don't think, Thursdays wouldn't even exist. But Yeah, it's
again the movie was successful because it was riding on the hype of the video game. Right. Okay, because at that time, I think Mortal Kombat 2 had just been released as a video game, and this movie was released in 1995. So they were riding on that hype. You know, everybody was playing. It was one of the most played video games in every arcade store, movie theater, and consoles. You know, it was one of the high ranked games, and people were hyped up about it. You know. So
the biggest, like, I think the biggest opportunity for this movie, like, was like, you had so much lore to explore. You had like Sub-Zero and Scorpion, right? Like, those two guys have a history, and you could have done so many things. And that's the thing about this movie and obviously Annihilation. And we're going to get to the 2021 is the, like, when you have so many opportunities, when you have so much lore, when you have so much already written material, you just cherry pick what would work, and you put it in there. And instead, they cherry pick and they put something which is, I mean, it is. We get to the Annihilation, which is completely laughable. But even in this movie, like, it's 1995, and you had the history of Mortal Kombat movie. I mean, well, the history of movies which portrayed combat, like, you know, but you don't do such a good job. It's a fighting movie, but besides few of the decent fights where, you know, they became an iconic thing. I don't know. It just does not work for me, at least personally. Like, I love Mortal Kombat as a game. So when you watched it in 1995, it was like, wow, it's mind blowing. It's so cool. It did not age well. You watch it nowadays, it's a nostalgic piece of history that you go back to it. But the song, like, honestly, there's
and the thing is, the studio was afraid when this movie was being made and released, because, I mean, we're talking about early 90s, video game movies were not being successful at all. No, we're talking about movies like,
it never even became successful. Like, name one video game movie which is like absolute success. I dare you.
There's franchises that are made. If you collect the Resident Evil movie franchises all together, they are successful. All right.
I mean, if you'd consider
Sonic the Hedgehog,
it was a fun movie, but it's like, it's
exactly. It's cheesy, but yeah. But what I'm trying to say is that, look, early 90s, we have movies like Super Mario Brothers, a total box office bomb in theaters, right? Now it's a cult classic. Everybody loves it. Then we have, a year before Mortal Kombat, we had Street Fighter, based on the Capcom video. Jean-Claude Van Damme. That movie was bad. You know, it was also Raul Julia, one of his final roles, and he did it as a favor for his son, who was a fan of the game. Right. He was on the verge. He was already dying from his disease, and it was a box office bomb, right? So they're riding on this failure. They're hoping that the hype of this game continues enough to drive it, and it pays off, okay?
Sure.
Now, there's one thing. I love Christopher Lambert. I'm a big Highlander fan. I love that movie.
He's an exceptional C-plus actor.
Exactly.
Be honest. Like,
he overacts this movie. Like, come with me.
Got a guy with things coming out of his hand. We got another guy who freezes stuff. And then there's a man who, as far as I can tell, is made out of electricity. I mean, how did he disappear?
Let me see. Let me see if our producer. Hey, producer, can you play the I don't think so clip with audio? Because I want to highlight how Lambert overacts on this. Let's see if he can switch it up. We're high tech. We got a producer.
Hey,
this
is the first time like we're doing this, so you know. There's the song.
That's one thing I enjoy about this one, is that every fighting scene you'll have that little techno syndrome. Man, that was cool.
I apologize. Hey, sorry. We are brutally honest here.
I think that's what viewers like us. Well, we got a couple of fighting scenes. You know, the fighting choreography wasn't that bad for this movie.
I mean, do you have eyes? Like, they just keep cutting things. Like, it's like,
I mean,
like,
look, it's good. It's good editing. You know, end, that's how you do edit.
It's not how we watch fights. Like, come on. Like, what was that? Why he, like, don't get me fucking started on this. You see, even my camera got fucking dizzy from all this flipping around for no reason. It's like, yeah, cheese is there. I agree with you. Like, but if we want to take ourselves seriously, like, you gotta have to be like, you know, let's be honest. This is what it is. Like, if this would be in a great movie, you know, it would have called The Raid, but it's not. So it's called Mortal Kombat.
I mean, maybe this film is like the pioneer of something bigger. You know, maybe this is what we needed to kickstart other franchises. No need to apologize, Rush. We have to be brutally honest and not sugarcoat anything. That's right.
Thank you. Thank you.
There we go. Here we go. Mr. Lambert himself.
Brilliant.
Brilliant.
Absolutely brilliant. So why don't you show me what you plan to do about them? I don't think so.
I can't, like...
it is, like, it's so bad that it's good. Like, let's just put the words, you know, out there and let's describe things as they are.
All right, so the directing. So we mentioned the movie directed by Paul Anderson, who went on to direct Event Horizon. I think this, I mean, this is a big project for someone that's his first time movie, to be fair. Like, I think he did what he could do with his knowledge that he had at that time.
As I said before, like, I don't have to repeat myself. It's C plus, you know. What you gonna
get? He's a C plus director.
He's a C plus director. There's a C plus actor. It's like that's your ceiling, right? In that movie, like, the choreographer was probably drinking beer and was like, "Yeah, you guys do something. We're gonna fucking cut it later." Editor was like, "Oh, I'm not dealing with this bullshit. Like, just fucking chop the shit together." This makes sense. Let's just throw it out there. The Mortal Kombat fans, they eat it up. Like, they just need something on the screen. They just, you know, they just want to feel good about themselves that they have, you know, lunatics who mash buttons for days on in. And I was the guy, so I'm not blaming him for this. Like, I enjoyed it when it came out. It just them re-releasing it to 2021. That's the part where I'm gonna get angry at. But this is me just cruising, like, guys. This is not me angry. This is me just starting to hate.
You're gonna get angrier when we start.
Oh, hell yeah, the new one. Bro! Like, this is the new one. Is that you think 1917 got it bad? Like, wait till you fucking see what I'm prepared for this. Anyway, so yeah, like, I guess we're like almost 20 minutes in. We can switch gears, like,
so get
the rage into the annihilation.
After the success of Mortal Kombat 95, you know, the studio says, you know what, this is we got something going on, let's make a sequel. And in 1997 they release Mortal Kombat Annihilation. Here we see the fight scene from that movie with Scorpion and Sub-Zero's brother. So let's start with the cheesiness cosplay outfits, you know.
I don't even know who these people are.
This is how we start this.
This is not even fucking Sub-Zero. This is not even Scorpion. Like, who are these? Like,
how the hell does this movie get made? Like, with the success of the first one, it feels like they cut the budget in half for this movie.
No, they didn't. They gave him double. The first one was made on 18 million. This got 30 million. Like,
where the fuck did the movie budget went into then?
Bro, let's just, like, obviously not costumes. Like, I think, like, there were some.
You mean Abomination? You know, you're right.
I think some of the corrupt Russian politicians were involved into, like, you know, breaking down this budget. Like, you know, it's the way, like, in Russia they build a bridge, they give like $10 million, and then the bridge actually costs like 20,000, and then the rest goes into the deep pockets. I mean, I don't know where they spend the money. Like, obviously not on the. Not on the fucking blue screen, on the green screen. I mean,
so let's before going through the story, like, the production on this movie
storyline. Hold up. Do you think there's a storyline here?
All right,
continue.
There is no storyline according to. But yeah. Like the production value of this movie. So like you have a successful movie in 1995 and they double your budget. And what do? You recast half of your actors in this movie. Sonya Blaze played by a different actress. Johnny Cage is played by a different actor. He gets killed within 10 minutes of the movie. All right. You already ruined one of the main characters. Raiden is recasted as well by James Remar. They tried to put a story, but they failed, and obviously. And then you have the villain played by a C actor named Brian Thompson, who did mostly was like extras roles and like one line roles in his past and commercials. And you get him to play Shao Kahn, the emperor of this franchise. No. And then the rest is go into bad choreography for the fighting scenes and then bad CGI. And we'll watch later on like a thing that I most likely know that everybody hates.
So it kind of looks like he's starving.
But Annihilation makes 95 look like a A-plus movie.
Yeah. Yes. Maybe that was the design. Maybe Paul Anderson got his check from Event Horizon, right? And he's like, best way to spend it is to make the Abomination, you know, Annihilation.
Well, he didn't do this one.
No, I understand. You don't get in the joke. Like, I'm saying,
oh,
like,
I gotcha.
Paid him to make it so his first movie looks better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Failing at the fucking jokes, too. All right, never mind. Like, our brains just... As soon as we start talking about this movie, it's like the level of intelligence in the room just dropped.
Yeah, no,
like
we go from like, oh, the room temperature. And then, yeah. But yeah, so story, Annihilation. No, the movie kicks off right where the first one ends with Shao Kahn and making, cheating his way, the rules of Mortal Kombat, right? Because, you know, if you win the tournament, you are good for the next 100 years. Nobody can interfere. And he breaks the rule, invades Earth with all his fighters from the outworld.
With all his armies, who don't do anything.
Like, and you then see
them ninjas in the beginning, remember? They're running after him. And then
we see the bad green screen chroma.
Oh, God. there's some shots, like, you can actually see the green screen, and they couldn't cut it.
Yeah.
Like, whoever was doing the editing or whoever was doing whatever, I mean, I don't think anybody was doing shit there. Like, listen... There's a scene, there's literally a scene, okay, when and Liu Kang comes to his home, right, and he says, oh, this is my home, and they move the camera, and at first it's like whatever the ground looked like in the beginning, and then the next shot, it's just, the camera does not change the positions, and it's like a reworked fucking field, like, it's, okay, that's not the scene, but anyway.
There we go. So that's Shao Kahn there. Let's see. We look at the background.
Johnny Cage.
That's Johnny Cage dead.
Not like this.
Yep, so like
this.
Look at that. So that's Brian Thompson playing Shao Kahn.
This is how the roles in Russia, by the way, look like.
James Remar playing Raiden. Like, oh, God. It just,
dude, the casting was so magnificent.
Hey, production, can you play the Death of Rain scene with audio? He's gonna switch it up now, because I just want to see this particular scene with audio, so we can just hear how bad the lines are delivered and everything in this movie. There we go.
My squads have already claimed thousands of innocent souls on Earth.
And I would have claimed millions.
Who the fuck is this guy?
That's Mutaro.
I know who he's like, but like...
Oh, he was an American Gladiator. He's not even an actor. He's a bodybuilder.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's supposed to be Shiva?
Yeah.
That's like a mutated Spider-Man woman.
And we got Brian Thompson overacting. Here he comes.
What did he mean overacting? Like, that's the way he is.
What is your report?
What is your report?
Two of Earth's best warriors have already been taken. Cabal and Stryker.
Tell me, did you make them beg for their lives before you destroyed them?
But Master, I thought if I let them...
I have no use for excuses!
That's so bad!
Are you gonna kill him, right?
Yeah, he kills Rain in this one.
I think they tried to like pull some Darth Vader bullshit where like, you know, they he kills the guy who betrays him.
You know, he kind of looks like Vin Diesel, you know?
Well, I mean, their acting range is the same, so I see.
Rain wasted. Yes, you know, he's a very strong character in the video game franchise, and they did him dirty in this movie. Known for the hunting prowess. As your general, I will personally he was a villain Cobra, and he did play the punk rocker in Terminator. The personal protector of Queen
Sindel. Your orders are mine to follow. Man, this movie is just trash. But it's a good like rewatching it, I had a blast. Like I had so many laughs. Like they just don't hold back. Like the cringiness there is like next level. Like the shit like the Jack says, like I'm like, wow, in 2021, like you would have been arrested for this. Like,
you know, I was thinking about the same thing while I was watching it the other day, you know, like it's funny, you know, how they so much can got away back then, you know, and now everything, you know, you gotta be careful what you write and say and film and stuff, you know. But
there was one thing I remember I forgot to mention to you, like when they watched the ninjas drop from like the sky.
Yeah.
And the Jax looks at him and he's like, I'm not even using parachutes. And I fucking cracked up. That was like, that's bringing me into the gentleman. Remember, he's like, I should invest in parachutes. I'm like, mother, Guy Ritchie stole this joint.
Oh, God.
Oh, so shit. Like together, Mutaro and Shiva did the dirty dancing move. Oh.
Oh, yeah. When he lifts her up. And,
yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right. That's
right.
Bro.
So. There's not that much to say.
Well, one thing I want to say is the music is on par. Like, if there was...
There he is. He's playing the scene again where he lifts her up for the dirty dancing move. Yeah, there it is.
There we go.
so you're saying the music?
Actually, yeah, the song that when Liu Kang is fighting... I forgot who is he fighting, but he's fighting. I think it's Jade. Her is her name. Like the
Jade. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So when he's fighting her, there's a song which is played, and I don't know the name of the song, but I know exactly where that song was used afterwards. Yeah. It was used in Animatrix, The Flight of Osiris.
Oh, okay.
Remember that too? Like
when they're training, when they're doing the combat simulation.
When they training.
No, it's not Time of My Life.
But when they training, like,
yeah,
kind of taking off each other clothes, but
yeah. Oh wow,
they do use so that one thing. One good thing came out of that movie.
That one song.
Well, the few songs are great. How they decided to like end it? It just I guess they thought that they have the budget for the CGI effects. But I need to remind you guys, this is 1997, okay? Speaking about Terminator came up in 1990, Judgment Day came out in 1991, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the CGI in that is like...
Way better.
It's 1997, the fucking Titanic came out this year, all right? Contact came out this year. Like you have Good Will Hunting came out this year. Like the movies that 1997 produced is like... this incredible lineup, right? So you can't like really dash it off like, oh, they didn't have money or they did. No, they had money. They had technology. They just were just lazy pieces of shit who didn't want to fucking make anything. Instead, they decided to have these two monsters, whatever the fuck you want to call them, like the Hydra and the fucking dragon. Hey,
production, roll the clip with the like, animality scene so like, people can see what we're talking about.
What the fuck is this? Like, it's...
There we go. This is what we're talking about. This is one of the final scenes in
Mortal Kombat. Oh, yeah. The plot of the movie is apparently Liu Kang had to find his animality.
His animality, yeah.
Right, for the entire movie. And this is what the fuck he found, like, for $30 million. Like, this is it. Right there. Like, I mean, talking about shit did not age well, like...
Look at that shit.
Like, what is... like, look, that's my reaction to that. Like, is like, what the...
And now wait for Shao Kahn to turn.
What kind of drugs they used? And probably that's where all the money went.
That movie proves that. See, it is. It does.
Like,
you know?
What, like, look at that. Look at that shit. Bro.
Look, like Sinbad movies, like Sinbad and the Seven Seas movies from like the 1960s look better than this crap that we're watching right now.
Dude, it's... And the, like, the lines, the dialogue before this, it's also like, it's so stale. Whoever wrote it, they were like, oh, listen, when Raiden appears, the Shao Kahn goes like, oh, yeah, you're my brother. And then he's like, no, my brother is dead. And 30, and obviously in the writing room, somebody thought it's like a great fucking line. So 30 seconds later, when the Shiva meets her daughter, I forgot her name too, Kitara.
Kitana, Sindel. Sindel, right? And Kitana.
And she's like, yeah, but I am your mother. And Kitana's like, no, my mother is dead. And that's fucking, that's joke is back to back, like 30 seconds apart. Like, I mean,
it's sloppy writing.
It's energy is sloppy. Like, nobody gives a fuck. Like, they're like, we got 30 mil. Like, fuck it. Like,
I don't know. They pocketed, like, they pocketed a whole chunk of change.
With bro, I don't know. Like, and the movie which I've been yelling about, The Raid Redemption, cost 1.1 million. All right. Let me sink that in your brains, guys. 1.1 million, the best action movie, fighting movie of all times, like hands down. At some point, well, we can't talk about that movie because there's fucking five lines of dialogue and ass kicking for hour and 20 minutes. Like, that's how good that movie is. Anyway, back to this monstrosity. like 30 mil, like where what do you do with this? But it did not age well, did not age at all. Like, it's, you look at this now and you go like, in 1997, somebody decided to spend $30 million and made this. Like,
Raid Redemption, best fighting movie ever.
I love our fans. And thank you. Yeah. Thank you. That's
Adrian. He's my buddy from Puerto Rico. He's part of the Wolfpack also.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah, I would be part of Wolfpack too, but I don't speak Spanish. So, you know. You probably guys don't like Russians either. All right. Anything we can add to this?
There's garbage. Nothing we can add to this movie. This movie is an abomination.
Right.
Mortal Kombat Annihilation is bad, period. Bad.
It's
all right. So it's because of this movie released in 1997 that Mortal Kombat film rights were in development hell for a while, until I think in 2009, 2010, Kevin Tacoen, or I mispronounced his last name. So, but he creates a web series called Mortal Kombat Legacy, and he starts airing it on the YouTube channel Machinima, something like that.
Machina.
I think that's, yeah. Whoever's listening, if you can correct me. Yeah.
I did correct you just now. I was listening. What are you talking about?
I don't know if you're saying it right or wrong. Two episodes ago, we were talking about the Cuckoo's Nest, and you kept calling McFlurry the Jack Nicholson character. So I don't know if you're saying it right. Makinima. There you go. You said it wrong. There you go. See?
Nah, whatever.
Anyways, so the
now we go.
Yeah. We got like 20 people correcting us now. We're sorry, okay? We're just gonna say YouTube.
Wait, what do you mean? We sorry? You sorry? I was not part of this idea that you just created in your head. But keep going.
So he creates a web show, and it turns out to be very successful. So it spawned two seasons, and then they put it together as a kind of like a movie. They put all the episodes together and they released it on Blu-ray. And it was very successful, so fans were very hopeful, like, hey, we're finally going to get to see a Mortal Kombat movie soon. So, again, this one, you know, Warner Brothers, who owns the rights to the Mortal Kombat film rights, they're like, okay, yeah, let's go into production, let's start writing a movie. And it takes till 2021. Actually, this movie was supposed to get released last year, but because COVID, it got delayed. So it took them approximately almost 10 years to release a film based off the game, going off from the fan base from that web show, but then it took them almost 13 years 13 years to release a new movie since Annihilation, and we got last Friday through HBO Max and theaters, Mortal Kombat, which we're going to refer to as Mortal Kombat 21, as a reboot to the franchise, and a whole new different take, whole new story,
whole new fucking character,
new characters, everything.
Like they don't have enough.
So let's go into Mortal Kombat 21. What are your takes on it?
Let's go into the story, because apparently they decided to do one in this one. So the story of 2021 is first 10 minutes, actually first 12 minutes. It's probably the most poetic depiction of the backstory of the Scorpion's the Scorpion's thing, which comes out of his hand. Like, I don't know what you call it as a weapon. But obviously, we find out that used to be a gardening tool. So the story starts in 1617, I believe. It's like 1700s. And the Sub-Zero comes to avenge somebody. I forgot the name he was using. Lee something. And we never even get to, in the movie, it does not explain why he comes to avenge this person. Yeah. But obviously, the Sub-Zero character is pissed off at Scorpion character. So he comes in and wants his revenge. So that fight scene is epic. Those first 12 minutes are by far the best part of this movie. I mean, maybe the last fight, which we just kind of witnessed parts of it.
That we're watching here. Yeah,
I can pass it on as something decent. But other than that, when it comes down to fighting scenes, I was not impressed. And I will get to that. Let's just talk through the plot and through the story. So Sub-Zero kills the future Scorpion, sends him to hell, or however you want to describe it, but his body disappears and he technically goes to hell. He kills his family, kills his mother, he kills his wife, kills his son, oldest son, and leaves his daughter underneath like the floor in their house. And Raiden finds that little kid and raises the bloodline.
Yeah.
So, okay, all right. So far, everybody with me. So apparently this bloodline transforms to our future protagonist, whose name is Cole Young. All right. This character has nothing to do with Mortal Kombat as we know it. It's a new guy with new abilities and with a birthmark of the fucking dragon, which is the symbol for Mortal Kombat.
Mm-hmm.
So he was born with it. That's what the birthmark means. Apparently, there's a fucking line.
They need to emphasize that.
They need to explain, like, it's that remember from the end game. It's like, well, if I die, that's what dying means.
Yeah.
Poor. Yeah. So this character Cole is a failed fighter. He loses his first fight, but apparently he is going to be a future fighter because you cannot defend the Earth if you don't have this tattoo or birth. Well, apparently
the birthmark that you're born with,
but not everybody is born with it. Like, some people get it because they kill a person who has it.
Yeah.
Why? But I mean, I don't know. It does not explain anything, but apparently like that's how it is.
Yeah.
So not only that, the importance of this mark is when you have this mark, you also gonna come up with this new ability, which in the movie they call like Arcana or some bullshit. Like
Arcana, yeah.
Like what? Like what? Okay. All right. Let's go into this. So now Sonya and Jax are this conspiracy fucking theorists who are sitting in the bunker collecting all this evidence about this tournament.
Yeah.
Like, why? Like, they're military guys. The last thing they do is need to fucking save the... My head hurts. Just, like... like, who wrote this shit? Like, how do you even fucking process that in your head? Sonya and Jax are gonna be the ones who are gonna have a conspiracy theories about this fucking Mark. Anyway, so they find Kano, the guy who killed 65 million people, who stole all the money, and here he is chained to the fucking chair.
Yeah.
Like, Kano. So he has the mark. Apparently he killed somebody with a mark, so now he has a mark.
Yeah.
Sonya, however, does not have a mark. They don't explain how Jax has a mark, but...
Which, by the way, Kano is probably the best character with the best
lines yes, in that movie. Yes. Yeah. Like, that dude steals the fucking show. Like, he's on a different level. Like, he is... And I'm going to be generous because maybe, like, he glimpsed in this pile of shit, like, as the one shining star, but he gets, like, B+.
DX-filed with fatalities. That's a good way to put it. Yeah.
Yes, that is. So, okay, let's just go through the plan. The dude who is now playing Shang Tsung is the guy who robbed all the mobsters of Gotham in Dark Knight. So every time he fucking speaks, I'm like, where's the fucking money, bro? Like, and I remember the Joker pointing at the screen, you know? And yeah. I know the weasel when I, like, that's all I see. So the cast, whoever casted this guy, like, come on, guys. Like, he had one role. It was an iconic role. And he always going to be remembered for that role because he haven't done shit since, like, 2008. Yeah. All right. Anyway, like, my rant is just beginning. Buckle your seatbelts. So, all right. So, this plot, you know, rotates around these people with marks gaining their fucking...
the weasel.
Yes. Gaining their arcanas or their abilities. Let's just call them abilities, apparently. Yeah. So, Kano gets the laser out of the eye. I mean, he had like a metal fucking plate in his head in the game. Like, that's how the laser came up. Here, they don't have a budget for it. Like, I don't understand. Like, they had $55 million to spend. Where did the money go? Again, cutscenes, fatalities? Yeah, maybe. Yeah. There are a few fatalities which serve as a fan service. I'll give them that. It's brilliant. They picked, cherry picked from different Mortal Kombat. There's one from the latest one, which I played for like 2 days when it got released. I was super excited. And that's when probably the best one of the entire movie. It's when the Liu Kang throws his hat and grabs this flying chick.
Kung Lao.
What did I say?
You said Liu Kang.
Kung Lao. Thank you. That's why, you know, I need you, Ruben, in this. Like,
I gotta correct you. We got people watching.
The name's right. That's good. But I forgot again. Yeah. So Kung Lao. All right.
Yeah.
So Kung Lao throws his hat. The hat is spinning. They put the chick's head and spine through it.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Awesome. I want to see that. But what I don't want to see is in Mortal Kombat fight scenes where there's no fucking blood. Like, you got rated R, green light, right? Like, I want to see teeth being knocked out. I want to see arms being broken. I want to see not just fatalities. Leading up to the fatalities, I see fucking pain, right? Because every time you play the game, right, you so... Actually, from the pharmacist.
Oh, the actor that plays Kano played the pharmacist in the Superstore show.
Excellent. Some of our viewers, they know more about these characters and the actors than us. That's good. That's exciting.
That's why we had to do the special episode.
Live is actually fun. Actually, you get a lot of insights from the troops. So back to this garbage. I'm sorry. So the plot, they don't even have a tournament. They just get prepared. Arcane unlocked first. Then you got Jax, I guess, gets his arcana fucking unlocked by picking up the stone. And Sonya is like, she just had like a fucking 1-ton stone dropped on her, which Kano had to like break his arms to pull up. And she's like undamaged. She's like, she has some dust on her, but she's fine. She's fine.
Yeah, she's okay.
She's okay. She gets up. She's like breathing, you know, she's fine. She's going to go kick Kano's ass with this laser and get his mark. And then instantly get his arcana. She jumps out of the portal and blasts the pink fucking rings from her hands. Like, no, Sonya needed the Glock. Like, that's her fucking thing. Glock and a knife. That was her fucking thing. The sonic fucking things, rings, purple, pink.
Yeah, we were all hoping for something darker.
Yeah, that was not what like I expected. And then the worst the worst part of this movie, okay, is when you have the fucking Master Goro, the guy who you had to like defeat a million people to get to and fight him as a maybe sometimes final boss or pre-boss.
He
destroys you. Like you had to like every Mortal Kombat I ever played, like you had to be either really good, which I never was, so I had
or
to
know cheat. Like the moves and stuff. Yeah,
right. So I'd have to pick some character who'd have like a cheesy like, which they did in the movie when you do like the
sweep. I was that player.
I was the guy who grabbed you when you blocked. Like that was my thing. Like
I was the guy that would sweep the leg. Yeah.
Yep. And the only time they used like the uppercut move, like it was like used once, and it is used on Goro, but like you couldn't do like that's the worst person to do uppercut on. Because even in the game, when you do uppercut on Goro, like he does not move, he does not fucking fly. Yeah. He just like leans back. Like you using one of the iconic moves on a character who didn't even fucking fly off the screen, which that was the part on the move. Like, how stupid you are. Like,
they did that joke on the movie. Yeah, that's why we said it, the sweep leg thing.
Yeah, so my head was hurting. Like, you get 55 mil, you get the R rating, you get everything you fucking ever wanted. And they had the audacity to talk in because I watched the behind scenes and they're like, yeah, we had the R rated move, you know, rating. So we went to the choreographers and we asked them, hey guys, what would be the move that you wanted to ever do in a movie but never could because of the rating? Please, let's do it. And where's the answer? Like, what was the fucking move? What did they do so special in this fucking movie where it haven't been done a million times before? All right. Yes, you're going to have the end scene, which I'm about to rip the new asshole to that one as well. Yes.
All right.
So,
let's go.
All right. Well, yeah. So the Arcana ability discovered by Cole is some kind of armor.
Yeah.
Which absorbs energy and doesn't do anything with it.
You know, like they just said in the comments the whole Black Panther thing. And that was the first thing that me and my wife thought about when we were watching it over the weekend. It's like the Black Panther suit. Oh, God. That was bad. Yeah.
And everything I said before, you disagree with that shit?
No, I agree with you. I see what you're saying. I'll get you a chance to defend.
I'll get you the chance. You don't have Matt Graham here. Matt Graham would be interrupting like every single minute right now if he would be here. But you at least you're just chilling and enjoying the ride.
Yeah. Yes,
that's what you're supposed to do. So let's get to the final scene, final fight. Finally, the Scorpion comes back from the fucking hell where he was waiting. I mean, if we check the timeline for 400 years to fight Scorpion, right? He comes back. And so I'm expecting these two duke it out, right? Instead, you get the fucking 2-versus-1 fight where Cole. I'm so mad I'm missing the names. Well, I'm always missing the names, but I'm always mad. So anyway, this Cole dude is now part of this fight. Okay, Mortal Kombat is 1-versus-1, like always. It's always been, it's always will be. There's no 2-versus-1. There's no fucking 3-versus-5. It's 1-versus-1. It's a dynamic of the game. Like there's character one and there's character two, okay? And if you have 10 people in the room, you wait your turn. You don't pick up another controller and jump in the fucking game, okay? You don't. That's not how this fucking works. Apparently in this one, they said, fuck all that. Fuck all that. Let's just have Scorpion have a fucking sidekick for this one. All right. Fucking WB and a New Line Cinema. Like, fuck you. Like, that disrespect to the fans, like, how dare you? Like, who came up with this fucking idea? And anybody out there who is a fanboy who is going to come out there and start defending this garbage, like, fuck you too. Like, you go and play the fucking Mortal Kombat and enjoy it, all right? Because for me, there was one thing about this movie that could have brought me back to Mortal Kombat, and that was my decision. If I'm going to watch this movie and I have a desire to go and play the game, like, that would be a success, okay? To me, that would have been like, you guys did it. You made me the guy who used to play Mortal Kombat religiously, who dropped it, who picked up the 11 series.
So that's the 2 versus 1.
Like, I mean, it's probably going to be banned because we're showing too much, but it should be banned. This movie should be fucking banned. Like, fuck, like, what is this? Double team? Like, what the fuck? Like, this is not wrestling. Like, you don't fucking tap somebody and they come in and everybody's like, yeah! So, like, to me, it was just so disrespectful. Like, fuck you guys. Like, you did one thing right, which wasn't probably you, because Kano just stole the show. Like, he just was on a different fucking level than anybody else. He delivered every line perfectly, every joke, everything was, yeah, handicap in a steel cage match. Like, they decided to, while we're serving the Mortal Kombat fans, let's serve the fucking WWE fans as well. Like, 2-in-1. Like, fuck it, let's just sell tickets. Like, fuck you guys. Like, I watched it twice just because I watched it once and wanted to throw up. But I was like, you know, maybe it's not that bad. And I watched it again just to, you know, prepare for the show. No, it's bad. It's worse the second time. It's worse the fucking second time. And there's nothing there which is unique, okay? We've seen this million times. Yeah, you got Mortal Kombat in there. You have the fucking chains coming out. Besides the first 10 minutes of the movie, I guess they fired the guy who wrote first 10 minutes. Well, I don't know what happened. Like, they're like, dude, you're trying to make it too good. Like, fuck you. Like, we have our own plan. Like, everybody, like, they probably whistled somebody out of the Hollywood, like, on the streets walking. Hey, can you write the script? No, but, like, I could try. Like, are you in? Like, bring this guy in. Like,
wow.
Bro, and I, like, you texted me, like, are you spending money when I bought the fucking The Raid? Like, at 12 o'clock, I had to go and watch the good fucking action movie, like, the good fighting movie. Like, I needed to remind myself that those exist. Those actually real. Those not fucking unicorns. You can actually make the good fighting movie, you know? It was Raid in 2011 for $1 million.
Yeah. Like, by the way, starring Joe Taslim, who plays Sub-Zero, he's in the Raid Redemption.
And I mean, I don't blame the guy. Like, I don't blame any actors. Like, the Scorpion, the, if I can say his name right, Hiroyuki Sanada.
Yeah.
Like,
he was in The Wolverine. He's
the Last Samurai. Last Samurai. He carries that movie. Tom Cruise is good. I mean, Tom Cruise is good pretty much in everything. But Sanada is like, he's so epic. And that brought me, like, that opening scene in Mortal Kombat 2021, that was like, that brought me back Last Samurai wipe and that fucking, that blood splashing him, cutting people. I'm like, yes, this is going to be good. And then he's gone for the fucking entire movie. Like, and he appears and needs fucking, he was preparing for this fight for 400 years. And some dipshit who did not even know he has the fucking powers appears here.
Damn, bro. I mean, if I knew that just the story section of MK21 was enough for you to wrap up the show, I would have started with that. Look, after hearing you point out all that stuff, I'm gonna give it to you. Like, the story, it's not good, you know. And obviously, to make a good movie, you have to have a good story. That's the period dot, like, on Hollywood films, right? So yeah, I do in a way agree with you with everything you hit pinpointed, you know. And look, I saw this movie with no expectations. You know? And I think that's right. Probably why I found myself entertained by it, because I wasn't expecting nothing big on it. Cause again, we were writing off from what we had in 1995, 1997.
Yeah,
obviously.
But, sorry. I'm gonna let you go. I'm gonna
obviously the casting was on point. Hiroyuki Sanada to play Scorpion, Joe Taslim to play Sub-Zero, you know, great martial artist. And then you have Mikad Brooks from the TV show Supergirl play Jax. And then you have actors like unknown actors, you know, who've done their like B movies or TV shows like Kano and Sonya, and then you have the Liu Kang, who was he's been in the Power Rangers movie. He was a minor character in Aquaman as well. So these are like new, in a sort of way, new faces. So they're introducing you to these new faces into like this realm. Actually, the guy that played Liu Kang was in an episode of Black Mirror, now that I remember, from the last season of Black Mirror. The one where Anthony Mackie is playing like a video game and he's inside the video game.
That episode.
He plays the fighter. Okay. Right.
So
the story has its flaws. Like, I personally think like the whole Cole Young character, he should have not been there at all. Like, they should have just did the movie with the characters they already have. Mortal Kombat has so many great characters that they all have such a great background story that you have enough material to create a story based off that background profile that these characters have. Like, you can create a great movie with Liu Kang's history. You can create a great movie with even Sonya Blade's background.
Anybody. You can pick Cabal and have a fucking
Kano. Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
You could have had them too. Like, bro, you can make a franchise out of this for the next 100 years, okay? You could have had, like, every story there, and then final tournament, you know, you do, like, the end game fucking type of shit, like, right?
Yeah.
But instead, you rush things up, you do this, and you know, you get pissed off people like me.
You're teasing a tournament, and there is no tournament in this movie.
Which is, I'm kind of fine with if you did it properly.
Yeah.
But, like, what's up with these fucking birthmarks / kill somebody, get the token type of thing? I don't
know. So, like, if you have a birthmark, does it mean you have it at birth?
I guess you killed your mother because she had it before you. Like, I don't know. Like, maybe.
Anyway, so, look, we're getting a sequel. The movie has actually been a success. And
apparently, we're getting two more of these.
And Joe Taslim said that he signed on for four. He has his contract for four movies. But it's doing well in the box office. You know that, again, there's not that much to pick from at the box office now.
He didn't get paid on Raid. We know that much. So yeah. Keep cashing in, bro. Like, I'm applauding you for that.
It did very well streaming numbers on HBO Max, obviously. So I think they're pretty much.
There's been three movies in 2021 so far, anyway. So, like,
that's true. But hey, you got to capitalize where you can. So right. They will announce shortly that a sequel is coming. It's happening. No, obviously, they teased at the end of the movie that Johnny Cage is going to play a central character in the next plot, most likely. They confirmed that Sub-Zero is not dead.
Well, they kind of technically at the end, he's like, well, death is only taking you to the different realm or whatever. And this is like, listen, it's Mortal Kombat. Like, you don't really die. Like,
mm-hmm.
you
pick
and the they, fucking character again and keep going. Like,
they said to expect Scorpion to return as well. So we'll see how this goes. You know, let's see how the script goes next time. But anyhow, for those who still haven't seen the movie, it's on HBO Max. It will be there till May 23rd, 30 days before they take it out. And then you have to wait for it to be released on digital or video platforms to watch it. By the way, so those who want to follow Joe Taslim's career, who plays Sub-Zero, he started with The Raid Redemption. That was probably his big first film that introduced us to him. He was in Fast and Furious 6. He played one of the henchmen. And he's recently a main character in the TV show Warrior, who is on HBO. It's on HBO Max right now. Has two seasons. He plays one of the main characters. So check him out. He's a really good martial artist, and his projects are really good, especially with The Raid Redemption. All right. Well, I think that's it. I don't got anything else to say other than
we're going to have to announce the next movie we're going to be doing, because I think I blew your head off completely. Just like a fucking fatality.
Yeah, you did kind of do a fatality on me with that. I didn't feel like this overwhelmed since 1917.
sorry. If it's a good movie, I'll give you all the praises. If it's a bad one, I'm going to rip you a new one. So...
Anyhow, so let's tell the audience that are watching us, and then for those who are going to eventually hear us again or watch us once this uploads, what will be the next episode next week? We will not be doing it live. We're going to go back to our regular programming of just recording and launching later in the week. We will return in the future with another live episode. We just want to prepare and pick a movie that everybody enjoys when we do that again. But next week, we'll return back to our regular schedule, launching every Thursday or over the weekend, our video and audio podcast. So what is the movie we're going to be talking about next week on Movie Bite?
So we're going to be talking about the movie, which we kind of really discussed over our friendship. And I think it's time to talk about it. Flawless Victory.
Yep, he did. Flawless Victory.
The Social Network. It's the movie which I believe we stood the time, and it's a very important topic to discuss, I think, overall. Social Network. If you guys have not seen it, you've probably been living on the moon, but if you haven't, just watch the movie. The Social Network.
Great movie.
Coming to you next week. Thank you, everybody who's participated today in the chat.
Thank you, guys.
It was a very new experience for me. I think I straddled a little bit in the beginning. It was a little bit...
You'll get used to it.
Hard to get in because it's overwhelming. But thank you for being here. Thank you for being the part of this. We'll see you next time.
Thank you, guys. I'll see you next time, and take care, right?